If we put the four primary public assistance programs in a grid, then the first column on the far left says, here's, it's either money only that this program provides and no services, or it's services and no money. And across the top, the first column is, these are programs that are not needs-based. You could be a bazillionaire and you can qualify for these programs, but you need to have a connection to the Social Security system. And that is Social Security disability, Social Security retirement, or maybe railroad retirement. And also it's Medicare. If you're 65 or older and you're fully insured under Social Security, you're going to get Medicare. If you've been receiving Social Security disability for at least 2 years, you're going to get Medicare, even if you're younger. Those you could be extremely wealthy, or those you could have a trust set up for you that will provide total support, and you're not going to be disqualified because they're not means tested. The other two on the right, which got all the attention in the prior session and get all the attention anytime we talk about special needs, are SSI and Medicaid. Those are means tested. So you don't have to be any connected to the Social Security system at all to tap into them, but you have to have low income and low assets. And these are where we think about using a special needs trust, whether it's self-settled or third party settled. We'll talk about that in a second. So you only need, if you have a beneficiary that is never going to need SSI or Medicaid, but they're on Social Security disability and Medicare, and you really think they're never going to need the other, then you don't need to talk about special needs trusts and you're done. You can do a normal trust that takes care of them. But if you think they either are or may in the future need SSI or Medicaid, that's when you're talking about special needs trusts. So for the beneficiary must fit into a category, sufficiently old, disabled, or blind, have low income and have a low amount of resources. That's when you're looking to use a special needs trust. To put this in a different slant, I want you to, actually I'm going to take that off for a second. When you think of a trust, any trust, in this context we're thinking about special needs trust, the money that's in that trust either came from the beneficiary himself or herself, or from somebody else that didn't have a duty to support that beneficiary. So it's either the beneficiary's money that's in the trust, or it's somebody else's money that's in the trust. If it's somebody else's money in the trust, that's referred to as a third-party settled special needs trust, the third party being that other person different from the beneficiary. If it's the beneficiary's money that's in the special needs trust, it's referred to as self-settled or first party special needs trust. You're going to see both. I'm used to using the self-settled language. So in the written materials, you're going to see that more than first party. Although I think I went back and put first party in parentheses every place I could find, because that's more what Steve uses in his language and probably Haley and maybe others. So they're the same. They aren't different trusts. A self-settled trust is a first party trust. And when you talk about first party, third party, then it kind of makes a little better way to distinguish between them. Massively different between how these trusts are treated if it's first party or third party, even though they're all special needs trusts. If it's a third party settled trust, there are two options for how to do this. One is a custom drafted document. You would draft that document as the attorney. Typically, it's in an estate planning context where you're working with that third party. Maybe it's a parent or a grandparent, and they are planning their estate, and they're saying, if I'm dead, I want money to go for my child or grandchild or sibling or whomever who has a disability and is on means-tested benefits. And so you create the third party settled special needs trust. That's the custom drafted one. In addition, you have an option, usually, I don't know that every, do you know, Haley, does every pool trust administrator also have a third party option or just some?
Not everyone, but I would say the majority of pool trusts do have a third party option.
Okay. All right. So you have the option of joining the pool trust. We'll talk more about what that means later, even if it's a third-party setting. If it's self-settled, there are two options also, and they've got weird names. We're going to call one here a D4A trust and another one a D4C pool trust. And it'll make sense in a little bit, a few slides down the road, where this D4A, D4C stuff came from. But the D4A trust is the custom drafted one. It's the one you would draft as the attorney. And it's to hold the assets of the beneficiary that go into that trust. And D4C is the pool trust. And that is... where there's a nonprofit association who has set up a master trust and they pool everybody's investments. Haley's going to do a better job explaining this in a minute. And the money goes there. So step back and look at the bottom row. There are four options when you're considering, do I need a special needs trust for somebody? First of all, that needs to be, they need to be needing means-tested or needs-based public assistance.